Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We have a fun show coming up. We got a fun and complicated fab bidding period. We have a lot of games to talk about, a lot of players to talk about, a lot of struggling players, guys. We're still not hitting very well, and we have a week which the A's did not win a game. Right, coming up right next. Happy Sunday evening, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Scott Jensta, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. If you please rate or review the podcast, goes a long way towards help people find us, does a lot of good things for us. If you enjoy listening to us all year long, can leave a bunch of stars, a nice comment. We would greatly appreciate that. Jeff, we're in like the second week of May now. We're moving on this season. We're a month in. How are you?
I'm good. Tired, but good. Just traveled to see my family this weekend. Caught up a lot today, though. The benefit of an early flight is I had a little bit of extra catch-up time, got home at a decent time. But, you know, hey, a lot happens in a couple days, even if they don't play six games in a day.
Crazy. The weather in the Midwest, you were there, Midwest and East Coast was crazy. It was like, and there were nine postponed games on Friday and Saturday. That's like it's the most I can remember in quite a while.
Yeah, 6-1 day on Friday night. Most of the, you know, we missed that. Like, it poured all day on Thursday, but we flew in like Thursday night, so we missed it. So that was nice. But got to just read all the cancellations, trying to adjust lineups, trying to guess who's going to make it up this weekend, who's going to make it up later on. You know, usually division teams will make it up later on, but even then, like the Reds, and we're hosting the Pirates. I'm sure you're watching that series very closely. We all were.
Of course.
They already had a scheduled doubleheader for Saturday. So, yeah, you're not going to have doubleheader Saturday, doubleheader Sunday. Okay, we'll make up a game later on because it's a division game. But, you know, like,
but hey, the Cubs,
they got to find a way to make it up.
The Reds won twice this week, though.
Yes, they did. Yes,
that's,
they did
indeed, my friend. Twice more than the Oakland Athletics.
We're still catching up to you, though.
You're five games back. I think you're going to catch it up at some point.
It's a race to the bottom.
I think the A's are truly more abysmal than the Reds, believe it or not. It is. It's funny that I always feel like, oh, they're 8-6. I told you it wasn't going to be that bad. I'm like, yeah, they have. They just scored one run in and had 11 hits over the last three games before today. Today scored three runs quick, didn't score again. They are truly putrid.
They're tough. They got Laureano back. He went 0-for-4 today, but you know he'll help until he gets traded. And I hate to sound so cynical, but it's true. I think it is, at least. So, yeah, I feel for you because, I mean, we're watching a teardown, and there's more to come for both teams, too. I think that's the sad part.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Matt Laureano person anyway. But, yeah, I like to see him get hot. I think they'll trade him at that point. Montas is the kind of the last piece. But everybody's like, oh, they're going to dump at the trade deadline. They're not going to be left. Like, I just don't think it's going to be rough. But they're not very interesting, so let's avoid talking about them. We have some teams that are playing really well, though, Jeff. The Yankees have allowed 75 runs total in the year. That's 17 less than any AL team. They're a plus 48 run differential right now. Yankees are playing really good baseball. I know I talked about it a little bit last week because they had won a whole bunch in a row, but they're still 8-2 in the last 10. Pitching well, hitting pretty well. They're like fourth in the AL in runs, so not dominating there, but their pitching staff's been the big story. They are really, really, really good at not allowing runs, especially that the back end of that bullpen with Green and Holmes and Chapman and Michael King. Those guys are all nasty.
Yeah, you know, and Green is starting to come around. Loaisiga, not quite so much, but you know, if he does, I mean, it's even one more lockdown guy. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and Holmes got the win today. Michael King got a win last week in pitcher. He actually gave up two runs today. It was a shock. One of those things, like, I didn't know the guy could give up runs. So
yeah,
but they've been really good. And you got the Dodgers in the NL side, and their numbers are even more absurd. They've allowed 60 runs in 26 games. You know, I know they were hyped, but they might even be better than the hype. They have a plus 74 run differential after 26 games. It's truly absurd. There's only one other team that in the NL that's allowed under 100 runs, and the Dodgers have allowed 60. It's kind of unfair right now.
It is. I mean, you look at them and you just see, like, you know, how deep this team is, because they don't have everybody firing on all cylinders. Freddie Freeman made a comment about that today.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a few guys that have been misfiring a little bit, but they're so well constructed. Money helps.
Money plus being smart is a pretty tough
combo. It's a dangerous combination.
Yeah, it really is. And you got a lot of smart teams without money. You got some money teams that aren't smart, but they are they're at the top end of both of those things, and it makes them really difficult. The Padres are hanging in there, though. I think the Padres are like a game and a half behind the Dodgers, playing really well. My question for you before we jump into the Fab stuff and the fantasy week, what in the AL West, the Astros have won 7 in a row, but the Angels are still ahead of them. Do you think the Angels have any staying power in hanging with the Astros this season? I know we're only 30 games in. I think it's safe to say that the Rangers and A's and likely the Mariners are probably a year early to hang in there. Do you see this as a cakewalk for the Astros? Do you think the Angels can kind of hang with them for a while?
I mean, they have so much star power, the Angels do, that if those guys stay healthy, then they can hang. But yeah. I think that they're just – their margins are thinner. I mean, I think that there's a – you know, there's such a high ceiling when you put Trout, Ohtani, and Rendon in the middle of that lineup. They keep getting contributions from Ward and Walsh and Marsh.
It's been great.
You know, all of a sudden that's a six-man lineup. Yep. Then they got to figure out second base. They got to get something, anything from catcher. But it's a credible lineup, and the rotation's credible. They need Thor to be solid. They need some of their other starters. You know, I don't know if the six-man rotation can work all season long, but they need their starters to be pretty good. Patrick Sandoval was a little unlucky today, I think, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, he was really good through five, and then kind of sputtered in the sixth there. He may have just been gassed.
Yeah, he might have been. It wasn't hot here today, was the funny thing. But
no, it was not. It was actually nice. The Thor stuff's interesting. Like, it's just amazing what a different pitcher he is than he was even a couple years ago. If you look at his strikeout rate so far, I mean, the ERA is really good at 2.6, but his strikeout rate's 14.6%. It's wild what a different pitcher he is. I mean, swinging strike rate's still pretty good, but it seems like he gets to two strikes and just can't finish guys off in terms of punch outs. He's getting outs, but at some point he's going to have to get above, you know, make that higher and to sustain with the ERA. He's going to start to get hit at some point. The BABIP's 230 right now. That's going to go up. It'll be interesting to see what his summer looks like, because I'm not super optimistic at the moment, despite the good start on the surface so far.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers suggest that they're for real. I mean, they're averaging over 4.6 runs per game.
Yeah.
Their offense is legit. They're not as good at run prevention as the Astros, but if they bludgeon teams, they may still get there. And there's three teams in the division two and a half teams in the division they can bludgeon. I don't think we've seen I don't think the Mariners are, that story is over with yet.
Yeah, I'd agree there. I think we're probably a year or two away from them like really competing, but I think that I'd be surprised if they didn't finish around 500 somewhere in there.
Yeah, I saw Jared Kelnick signs of life this weekend, but desperately needed that. And of course, they got Kirby. They went with George Kirby today, who was awesome. Didn't get any run support, of course. But you know, they have the seeds of a pretty good team. They had a really rough week. The Astros took care of them pretty handily. That was the thing that had to be discouraging, is it was at the hands of a division rival too.
Yeah. And the one that you're kind of trying to stick up for. Yeah, I think the Angels, your point, I think it was key. I mean, and not only does the pitcher have to pitch well, but they've got to stay healthy, because there's not a lot of depth there. They have like the five guys and they find the sixth. But, you know, if Lorenzen's got to keep pitching well, Detmers has got to break out a little more. Thor's got to stay healthy. It's a really thin line of if they can keep those guys pitching. Because Ohtani, it seems like they've got to pretty much go with the six-man rotation just to keep him. Or they could kind of – it'd be tough to move that around so he goes six, everybody else goes five, because there's off days and not off days, makes it tough. But they just need all those guys to stay healthy, which is a tough ask.
Yeah, it is. I wonder if they went too deep with Lorenzen the previous start against the White Sox. Remember, he took it into the ninth inning, took a shutout in the ninth inning. And I know he was pushing for that. It's not like he's a victim here. But at the same time, yeah, maybe that took a toll. He wasn't as good in his next start. You know, the counter argument is, well, he gets the extra day of rest, right? But I don't know. I think it's the exertion, the toll. Is just as important.
I love the Angels announcers blaming the ball the other night when Taylor Ward actually flew out to the warning track and sitting in a home run. It was like they were so stunned that he didn't get a hit that they were blaming the ball. It was cracking.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's the ball. That's a home. It was. He like, I forget who it was, but he was freaking out pretty good. So
yeah, not the worst freak out of the weekend. Chris Woodward had the worst one there with the Gleyber Torres home run. like, oh, this joke of a ballpark, blah blah blah.
Right.
But then did what's the name of the Twitter feed? Gong. I'll get it right at some point in time. I'm showing my old age here, but it said that it was a home run in 28 out of 30 ballparks, basically, and it was a rocket. So, boo hoo.
Yeah. Seriously, cry me a river there. But let's jump into the fantasy part. We have a really, really busy week of baseball this week. For all those on the West Coast, there's a 9 a.m. game tomorrow morning. Make sure that you have lineups in. There's also a 10 a.m. game tomorrow morning. So there's a lot of action in the morning. If you would live on the West Coast, you probably need to set your lineups tonight, which sounds a little bit daunting at the moment, but I have to do that myself. We have Royals and Orioles at 9 a.m. and then 10 a.m. we have Rangers and Yankees. And then we jumped out to 3:35 is the next game, Pacific time. So noon Eastern is the first game. My A's this week, Jeff, 9 games. I'm not sure as long as we're doing this podcast, we've had a 9 game, a team played 9 games and 9 inning games too. It's not like we even have the 7 inning double headers. This is going to be a long week for the A's bullpen.
Double header. Yeah. I mean, it's the in and out weekend. But the A's don't have any secret sauce, so they're in trouble. But
they do not. They're throwing guys out. It's going to be their bullpen is going to be. They're going to have to get some, up and down from Vegas and AAA. But it's going to be a rough week on the bullpen. They got to hope that Montas and Blackburn, they're both supposed to pitch twice a week. They got to better hope those two guys go deep, because the rest of them, it's going to be a long week in the bullpen.
Well, you know what? I'm annoyed at them already. The Tuesday night debacle against I think it was Tuesday night. I was picking up my daughter from volleyball. So that's why I think they had the save situation against the Rays. Or maybe it was Monday, but they went with Kirby Snead in the ninth. Not Jimenez, not Trevino, Kirby Snead. Yeah, and of course, predictably, they gave up that game and then got blown out in extra innings.
Yeah, Trevino got housed in extra innings.
Yes, he did.
I was somewhere when that happened because I wasn't watching. So I think it was Tuesday. It must have been Tuesday. I'm trying to remember where I was last week. That's asking a lot. But I think that they went with Danny Jimenez in the eighth because it was like the high leverage top of the lineup for the Rays. But
I can buy that.
But the problem is then Snead got 4, 5, 6. So it wasn't like it was he got the middle and they got the bottom. He got 1, 2, 3 and then 4. It obviously didn't work. But it's been rough. But 9 games this week. So if you do have any A's players, they play 5 games in the first half, 4 in the second half. A lot of games there. Detroit, who is one of the doubleheaders the A's have, they have 8 games this week. And a note on the lighter side, if you have any Red Sox, Blue Jays, or Braves, some pretty good offenses there. Well, I should say good offensive players. The Red Sox are not a good offense right now. They have 5 games this week, so that really matters there too. Jeffrey, if you're looking at streaming some offense this week, are there any teams that jumped out to you like, wow, I really like the schedule. I want to get some of those guys this week.
I think your outline even says zero streaming schedule. So that'd be a no, dog.
That's supposed to be O streaming schedule, like offense.
Oh, okay. But no, actually, I mean, I look for players. I mean, you want to tackle the A's, you want to tackle the Reds.
But I looked at the A's and I was like, well, if I had Sean Murphy or, Laureano, but they're taking anywhere. Pinder would be my guy, but it's not like guys really want to attack.
No, I would want to have hitters going against the A's as much.
Yeah, that's fair too. And I mean, the Tigers have an interesting schedule. They have 5 against the A's, pitching 3 against Baltimore. That one lines up. That one lines up pretty well. I know Baltimore has had some good starts in there, but I think the Tigers, if they're going to score some runs, is a pretty good week for it.
Yeah, I mean, the A's rotation is not that bad. It's the problem is the bullpen, like you said. But yeah, and the Tigers' offense is hideous.
Yeah,
that's the other part. That's a problem. Okay, well, you know, which Tiger are you going to pick up? Which Tiger hitter are you going to pick up there?
There's not a lot. I mean, obviously the good ones are already rostered, but I guess you could kind of go with a Miguel Cabrera if Akil Baddoo is dropped in your league. Maybe you could experiment there, but there isn't a lot to get excited about. Austin Meadows missed the weekend with an illness. Candelario's been bad.
I mean, Derek Hill batted leadoff. I mean, maybe that's your option.
Quietly, with all the bad rookies, Spencer Torkelson's kind of flown under the radar a little bit. He's hitting .167 with a 34% K rate. It's not been good there either, despite the couple of long home runs that have been fun. But it has not been a good first month for Torkelson either. A
lot of learning on the job with these prospects. Yeah. You know, some are coming around. Bobby Witt's coming around.
Yep.
We had some fun exit velocity readings from him over the weekend. But yeah, there's a lot that are struggling. A lot.
I feel like Julio Rodriguez is coming around too. And if nothing else, he's got 9 stolen bases. So he's at least fantasy coming around for sure. But he's up to .230 at least, but still a lot of strikeouts. It's been tough. Do you think Jared Kelnick lasts another week in the majors?
I thought he might have gotten sent down on Friday, but they didn't do the deed. He did homer yesterday.
Yeah,
and he has a stolen base.
Yeah, stolen base too. But it's rough. It's a 36% strikeout rate too. It was at 40, so progress. There you go. Yeah. The hard part with him is it's not just like, oh, it's 25 games. It was 90 games last year too.
Yeah.
He was legit pretty bad. He hit .180 in 90 games. He's 175 through 460 plate appearances. Starting to be like not the smallest sample in the world. So it's they have to be concerned.
Yeah. I think so. And they've got a ready-made solution or swap out with Kyle Lewis. I don't know about solution. I might be overstating the case, but Kelnick's already sitting a little bit here and there too.
Yeah, and Lewis has 2 home runs, I think, in the minors already in his rehab assignment. I have to think that's the easy swap out. One thing you don't want to do is have Lewis come up and Kelnick suddenly plays 2 or 3 times a week, and that's just hurting anything.
Exactly.
Then we've got the Dodgers have a good week this week. Obviously, most of their players are rostered anyway, but 3 at Pittsburgh and 4 against Philly is pretty nice. The Royals head to Coors Field, so they have 3 at Texas and 3 in Colorado. Also pretty nice there. But it should be a big week of offense. There is a lot of teams playing a lot of games this weekend.
There are. And some of these are makeups, and some of these are scheduled doubleheaders. I think the A's-Angels doubleheader, for instance, on Saturday. That is scheduled, just like Reds-Pirates was last week, just like Mets-Phillies was last week. Divisional games. Yep. And that's where they're making up the stagger for the late start.
Yep, for sure. So let's jump into Fab. I mentioned at the top, Fab was a little complicated and tough this week. You know, on Thursday, it looked like we could be having there's a lot of talk of Fabapalooza we had a couple years ago where all the rookies got called up in the same week and there was a ton of bids. It started to look like that might be the case, but then a lot of these ones, had a little of a cold water thrown on them. Jared Duran in Boston got sent back down. Royce Lewis, the twin stud rookie, got called up. And then Carlos Correa, turned out his hand was not fractured, so his injury is not that bad. So he's maybe up for only a little bit. Same with Jose Miranda in Minnesota. So some of these like really big bids we're hoping for, looking forward to didn't quite happen. Although Juan Yepes, I don't know if I'm saying that right. I hope I'm saying that right. In St. Louis.
I think it's just Juan Yepes.
Juan Yepes. All right. He had some big bids. He actually hit really well, and he played a lot. He was hitting 5th every day this week. So let's start with him. Where were you on Yepes? Obviously, showed a lot of pop in the minors last year, hitting 5th almost every day this week. Had a home run today to kind of boost his value, hitting .474 through 20 plate appearances. Obviously, super small sample, but doing well, showing that he can hit. And it seems like the Cardinals are willing to give him a shot. What do you think is in terms of is he staying up? Do you think he stays 6 for a while? How aggressive were you with the bids on him?
Not aggressive enough, at least in my main events. I did get him in yogurt, and I got him in one of my 2 online championships. I had to settle for Jesus Aguiar and another.
I like that settle, by the way.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're equivalent. And I spent 13 on Aguiar, and Bez went for a lot more. He went for over 200.
I take Aguiar the rest of the season right now, by the way.
Well, he's got the playing time locked in.
I just like Aguiar too. So I'm a little biased there, but yeah, he went for 222 in one of my mains. And then he went for, a little cheaper, 115 in one of mine. I was kind of in the 80s and 90s, didn't especially need a corner maybe in any spot, and I just didn't want to totally break the bank not knowing what was going to happen there. But he felt to me like of the rookie call-ups, he's the most likely to stick for a while.
Yeah, 201 and 222 in my respective mains.
That's aggressive, yeah.
I did want him. I was in the 100. I think
I was gonna say, like, were you guys triple digits?
Yeah. And no. I think I wasn't there. I was in Scarf. I think I was in triple digits. But you know, one thing I think it's a good thing too about having a partner is you tend to temper your bids more than you raise them. In Yogurt, I got him for 73 with a second place bid of 55. So that worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
There is a debate on our space, our Twitter space, about whether he's one of the guys that could get sent down pretty quickly. Like, compare that versus the Twins, Miranda versus, you know, versus Royce Lewis. And I agree that Miranda and Royce Lewis are threats. I did pick up another twin, however. Alex Kirilloff was available in one of my mains.
Wow, that's an interesting drop into 15. What was that price?
We got him for 73 with a backup of 45. So,
I like that buy. I probably would have been in the low triple digits for him. I really like that price on him.
Yeah. The thing is, I feel more comfortable about him sticking. He's got a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, the Twins have aspirations and they're off to a good enough start that they and Detroit's off to a bad enough start, and so are the White Sox, that they could, that they can sustain those aspirations. I know the White Sox have caught fire over the weekend. So, that they're going to have to stay on it pretty good. But Kirilloff was the hot name last year and a half, two years ago.
And he wasn't horrible last year. I mean, the OBP was low, he walked, but he only struck out 20% of the time his first time through. He had a barrel rate of 13%. Like, I was really excited by Kirilloff, what we saw. I mean, it's a matter of him staying healthy. That's been the issue so far. But, I would certainly have bid him over Miranda and Royce Lewis. That's a pretty good – I like that.
And I bid him over Yepez too, actually.
I would have my first choice. Yeah. I would have too. So I do like that. That's an interesting one. And hopefully he can stay healthy, because I do think – I think he showed a lot last year in 60 games. I think he can actually hit.
Yeah.
What did you do with the two of the Twins rookies? Jose Miranda, you know, obviously the big power bat. Royce Lewis, more of a guy that can get you some steals. Obviously a super exciting prospect. He's had a lot of injuries, pretty much missed most of the last couple of years. But like I mentioned before, Carlos Correa, the injury is apparently not bad. They said like he's unlikely to play on Tuesday, but should be pretty quick after that. Luis Arias should be coming off the COVID IL here at some point. Kind of takes two spots there. Do you think either guy sticks? Do you think they obviously want these guys to play every day? Do you think they go back down? The Twins don't have a ton of infielders. It was weird that I think Royce Lewis was the only other infielder on the 40-man, which is when they kind of seemed like maybe they called him up for that reason. Obviously, he's an exciting prospect. Moran's an exciting power prospect. Where are you on the bids with these? I found these really difficult to figure out what to bid on these guys, not knowing if they're going to be on the Twins on like Thursday.
That was what slowed my roll quite a bit. I was nowhere close. And in some cases, too, it's a matter of fit. Like, one of my two mains, we're loaded with middle infielders.
Yeah.
So Royce Lewis really wasn't a major target. Now, I know he's a former number one overall pick, but you're also talking about a guy that missed all of last season because he slipped on ice and, you know, had his entire knee torn up. So I don't know. I think he's back down in the minors at the end of the week. I think Miranda might stick longer because of the Sano injury, but I'm not sure. I think Kirilloff is going to get more playing time than Miranda, though.
I do too. I think Kirilloff doesn't have the risk of getting sent back down. Royce Lewis was really interesting in my leagues. He went for 126 with a backup 55 in one of my main events. I was not close to that. My second main event, I actually got him. $22. I just kind of had to keep him honest bid in there. Like, if I get this and he gets sent back down, who cares? It's $22. If he sticks for some reason, or it's Correa, they find something in that it's messed up. Like, $22, I'll take that risk. And if I have to drop next week, like, who cares? I was really surprised that with that big of a name, he slid through. Considering my other league, he went for 126.
It's like 52 in one of mine, and then in the other 57. So kind of in the same range. I think it also kind of depends on who your drop is too.
I dropped Josh Harrison, so that was pretty not very difficult.
Harrison can play at three different positions, but
he can. They just not very well at the moment, and not playing every day.
True.
Not playing well either, which doesn't help. Yuan Moncada is also back tomorrow too.
These are all good points.
You know, squeezes it a little bit. I was fine with Harrison. I had like three bids in there to drop Harrison. I wasn't like, oh my God, I need to get rid of this guy. Let me put in 10 conditionals. But I don't know. I figured it was worth gambling a week to see what Lewis can do. He was my third bid in there for $20. I figured you just never know. And you know, maybe you fall into an exciting player who can steal some bases, but I didn't really think I was going to get him more than anything, but at $22, it was worth a shot.
Oh yeah, I agree with the concept there entirely.
Other guys, I want to talk to you guys about a guy in the Reds. It's actually my top bit. The guy that I had in above Royce Lewis this week was Brandon Drury for your Cincinnati Reds, hitting second this week. I know that Jonathan India and Joey Votto are both out right now, and Senzel's out too, so there's a lot of open spots. But Drury is hitting well. He has second, third, and outfield eligibility, in at least in the NFBC. But I looked, 274, he's got 5 home runs already. But you look at how hard he's hitting the ball, 50% hard hit rate, 18% barrel rate, making a lot of loud contact right now. Do you buy any of it? I mean, he hit the ball pretty well last year when he was with the Mets. Obviously, it's only 50 games. B, does he have playing time kind of when all these guys come back? How do you think that works out as a Red fan?
Yeah, he's no longer known as the guy that's holding Vlad back.
That was him, wasn't it? That's right.
It was him.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted. I mean, what he is doing right now, you mentioned the barrel rate. He's had 10 barrels this year. He had 4 all of last season. He had 2 the year before that, according to Savant. Yeah. And that it makes me think, like, okay, well, he's showing real improvement, but he's also 29.
Right.
Can he learn a new trick, or is he just on a heater? I tend to think it's the latter. He was in my string of bids. He was not my top target, but he was a target, especially because, middle corner outfield. I mean, that's 5 positions, technically.
That's what I really like there, too. If he, say it's a heater, but he doesn't fall back to Toronto, hitting whatever he hit, 180 that year. How do you think the playing time works out? Do you think he has a chance to kind of carve out a role 5 days a week or so?
Yeah, well, on this team.
But I mean, India's gonna be back. Votto's gonna be back.
It's gonna be a while before India comes back. First of all,
Votto and Senzel are a couple days away, so they're quicker. But yeah. You're right on India. They obviously seems like he rushed back a little bit maybe this time, and they won't do that again, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, Moustakas' best position is DH, so you put Drury at third, and that solves that a little bit. But I can see it.
The Mike Moustakas complete lack of power has become very strange over these last 3 seasons.
Well, he's so hurt.
Yeah, you just think he's not the same guy physically anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I do think that eventually, Cullen Rand was on a 1-day heater, so
yeah,
I don't
two
know.
Bombs maybe, today, yeah.
Maybe he plays some third base too. I mean, but when we're talking about that, I mean, these are all guys that they're just going to play the hot hand with.
Yeah.
Drury's going to go through a stretch where he probably struggles again. It's a hotbed against the Pirates. I mean, I think we got to keep that in mind.
That is very fair too. The Pirates and Reds tend to not stop runs.
They had a Coors Field series already too. He's doing some things that are really nice. Drury is.
Yeah.
So I like it. And he's cut down on his Ks a little bit from 25 to 22.5. That's good. I mean, he could be useful. I mean, like I said, we had bids on him. I'm not distraught that they didn't win.
Yeah. I was, I wanted him. But I was in the 30s and 40s. So obviously I can't be distraught about someone I'm bidding that for. He went for like 56 in my league where he was available in my main event. But I like the second and third in the outfield. I like the hard contact. I agree with you. That's probably a heater, but, I was kind of interested in riding the heater here for a couple of weeks and kind of seeing it works out. Obviously, summer hitting in that ballpark, if someone maybe had figured something out, would be pretty interesting.
You know, what you want to see, though, in a case like that is, okay, well, I bid 25, but the winning bid was 117.
Of course.
And then you don't feel so bad. Now, when you get outbid by 10, 15 bucks, you're like, well, I could have used him. And
I always love when someone goes way too high. And I'm like, I wasn't going to give him anyway. So that's it's fair there. A few other names. In that world, there's a lot of people that are happy for your Reds, by the way. There are multiple comments about the Reds finally winning the series.
It's our Reds. It's a collective hour. It's not just me and you. It's the whole listener-tariat. I mean,
listener-tariat. Wow, that was nice.
Thank you.
Another youthful name that we talked about a bunch early in the season. Now, Bryson Stott got called back up by the Phillies with Didi Gregorius going on the IL. Another shot through here for Stott. Obviously, the first time through was very rough. Hit a .133, did not homer, did not steal a base, struck out a ton. But someone that, obviously was a prospect pedigree. Everybody's excited about him. He's the 14th overall pick in 2019. When he made the team, everybody's excited. Were you buying in on here? He'll play a bunch with, Boehm could play third now. He could play short. Camargo kind of float between the two. Do you think they give him another shot here? Were you bidding on Stott this week?
I was not bidding on Stott. But then again, I mean, at least they're going to play him at one spot. But I don't know if they're going to play him every day. That's the thing that worries me a little bit. I think they're going to play Camargo.
I do,
And that bothers me. I don't know how long Didi is out. If he's out just the minimum 10 to 15 days,
yeah,
then what are we getting?
I looked for a bunch for that to see if I could figure something out there, and it seems like not really that figure outable. It seems like he's got the knee strain. There was no set timetable. I looked because I was looking at Stott, and I looked, and I don't think they know how long he's gonna be out. But it didn't seem like it's a 3 month thing, but maybe a couple weeks more than anything. But always hard to know in those things. Someone's asking the chat a couple names we want to talk about that weren't available in NFBC, but obviously we're working on a lot of different leagues. I'll get to the pitcher in a second, but Alec Thomas got called up by the Diamondbacks, a pretty exciting prospect. In our NFBC leagues, he was not available because he just got called up today. So we weren't able to bid on him because he wasn't in the player pool yet. He'll be interesting for next week. But obviously a lot of people play different kind of leagues. People play leagues where you can pick up minor league guys. It seemed like the Twitter buzz afternoon was pretty darn excited that Thomas was getting called up, and people seemed to be pretty fired up about him.
Number 50 prospect in James Anderson's prospect rankings, power and speed combo. That's the thing that's interesting. That's what gets people excited. In 34 games last year at AAA, 8 homers, 5 stolen bases, 4-3 respectively so far this year. Now, granted, Reno is a very nice place to hit.
Yep.
But we also have pedigree here. Second round pick in 2018. He's been a prospect all the way through. So yeah, it's exciting times, and it's predicated by Carson Kelly going on the IL. They're putting Varsho back behind the plate, and that's going to be it might be a permanent thing again here.
Yeah.
We'll see. Because Carson Kelly was having a terrible year prior to the injury too. They may just say, Varsho, you're now our starting catcher.
I can definitely co-sign that Reno is a good place to hit. I actually worked for a minor league team in Reno for a summer as the PA announcer. There were some bombs hit at that place by guys who probably should not be hitting bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't had a fan hit one out. We did a promotion every night where if you bring a call a fan out and if they had a home run, the entire stadium wins cell phones. And we may have called someone out that we thought would have a chance to maybe make some good contact after a month of nobody doing anything. And like 3 pitches in, the guy hit a home run and the place went nuts. It was actually pretty fun.
Yeah, that had to be pretty expensive, though.
It was one of those things. It was like a sponsored by itself. Yeah, all insured and sponsored by a cell phone company. You got the free phone, but you had to sign up for service. So there was a big catch in there. But it was still kind of fun to tell everybody they want a cell phone. It was still in the days where that was like you didn't get cell phones for free. So it was kind of a big thing.
Well, yeah, and you had to pay for the minutes or you had I used to have a cell phone. I paid 15 minutes at a time. And we were cheap, of course, too. So cheap / poor.
Some other guys in here. Josh Rojas back for the Diamondbacks. Since we're talking Diamondbacks right now,
yeah.
Another second short outfield eligible guy. I had some bids in on him, but as I looked closer, I was kind of less enthused. It was just kind of. I looked at his last year, and he hit 550 plate appearances last year, 11 home runs, 9 stolen bases. Good, but hit 264. Like I found it hard to get super excited. I think the interesting part is if he leads off like he did a bunch last year, then you're going to kind of fall into a bunch of runs. If he steals 10-12 bags, he's worth it. The multi-eligibility is nice, but I kind of pulled back my bids a little bit once I looked a little deeper into him. He's 27. I just don't think there's a lot of upside with Rojas, although I think he might just be fine.
We held him in one of our mains whole time. So they didn't have to waste fab money when we waste a spot for 7 weeks. So there's that, but or whatever, 6 weeks.
I was gonna say it's been close to there. It hasn't been that far.
I think this is week 6 of fab.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. He went for $79 in my main event, so that's a pretty decent price for a guy. I think it's one of those things like looking for a bats in a deeper league. It makes sense, but I wasn't willing to go triple digits on the guy.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I think he's keep him honest, but it is appropriate.
A guy who is—it's kind of interesting to me right now. He's not available in many main events for a lot of 12 teamers. It's Yadiel Hernandez in Washington. Seems like he's playing a lot more and making a lot of solid contact. We talked about Drury earlier. Hernandez has a 14% barrel rate right now, 44% hard hit rate, couple home runs, hitting .371. Obviously, that's absurd. His BABIP's .436. But he's a guy who hit .273 last year across almost 300 plate appearances. Yeah. I think the bat's pretty good. He doesn't strike out a lot. Strikeout rate was only 20% last year. We're looking at 19% this year. If he blends that with this newfound hard contact, I think there's playing time to be had in Washington. I think that there's a lot of guys there that, you're not really worried about. Yadiel's 34. Obviously, he's a guy that came over from Cuba, I believe. So he's not a young guy, but it seems like he's kind of finding his way at the moment.
Yeah, and this is the can you believe this guy is hitting this this number guy, and we're now on week six or whatever. So yeah, I think it's worth noting. You know, we're all, you know, a lot of times we were focused on Lane Thomas versus Victor Robles. Well, yeah. No, it's the answer is Yadiel Hernandez. Although again, where you know it's the where's the fantasy goodness? Two homers, one stolen base.
Yeah,
you'd like to have a little bit more of one or the other. Because the batting average isn't going to last forever.
Yeah, the worry is that he doesn't hit a lot of fly balls. So he was hitting the ball hard. I don't know if the home runs are really going to come. But off a fab pick, he was in my mix there. Someone that I do like. Edward Olivares was popular this week too, but he got hurt today. He got hurt in the first game of a doubleheader. Had a quad injury. The quotes were kind of murky enough for me to not feel good. That it was day to day, so I kind of pulled off all my bids on Olivares. He's an interesting guy that we talked about a lot last year. That got called up and down from AAA like 13 times. The skills are interesting. I don't know how the playing time will work out, but it kind of became moot for me once he got hurt today.
Yeah, I was just going to say the Royals punitively sent him down just for that between games, but
no doubt.
No, they were on the road, so they couldn't do it. You know, I actually have him in AL tout, and he's kind of borderline even there. I got him in the reserves, I think, are like the last $1 player on my roster there, but I like Justin Mason just, you know, said he had bids lined up and pulled all of them. You know, I thought about lining up some bids, and because the opportunity is there. He is one of the beneficiaries to Escobar being out.
Mondesi.
Mondesi, sorry. Wrong old, you know, name.
Wrong old Royal, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think, yeah, I you know, with him, you don't know. Quad injuries are dangerous. You know, they tend to linger a lot. Because they're on the road, et cetera, I scaled back.
I did too. I would have had some decent bids on him when I saw the news. I kind of pulled them all back. I didn't want to bid big on someone that, you know, suddenly goes on the IL right away. Robert Matthews in the chat asked, so we're talking about Josh Rojas. Would you rather have Josh Rojas or Manny Margot? Manny Margot easily for me. I really like Manny Margot as a fantasy player this year. I know he was great this weekend, had three home runs, but I drafted him in the main event earlier this offseason. I really like him as a guy that will fall into some home runs, stolen base for you. Just kind of put him in there. I know he platoons a little bit, but I think the end of the year numbers will be pretty useful.
You know, he's good for 10 stolen bases every year, right? One of these years he might play more and end up with 20. I mean, the fact that they sent Josh Lowe down probably indicates a little bit more playing time in the near future. He didn't start, what was it, Friday? And he still had a three-run homer. So, or at least a homer, three RBI. So
It was a three-run homer off Paul Sewald late in the game.
Yeah. Prior to this, but, you know, he wasn't having a good season prior to this last week. But you ask for miracles, I give you the A's and the Mariners.
Yeah, it's nice when you face those guys. Last note, I think if you need a catcher, I do think it's time to re-pick up Danny Jansen. I really liked him coming to the year. I think he's about 7 to 10 days off with that oblique, probably going to rehab assignment. Sounds like he's doing a lot of stuff. He was about the only catcher that I was interested in this week. And I was even okay starting him this week with the thought that you can start next week because the catcher is in a 15-teamer. You know, give me that over the 1 for 14, and I'll go ahead and play Jansen next week. I like him enough that I'm good with a week of zeros.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I don't even know which leagues he might have been available in. I wasn't as big on MJ Melendez. I have Ryan Jeffers as my number two catcher, I think. He's been fine, so I'm not going to dedicate big time resources, but I could be getting an upgrade. I mean, Ryan Jeffers might turn into a pumpkin, or he might just establish himself as the full time guy in Minnesota, too. I don't know.
If I had Ryan Jeffers as my number two, I would not be looking to add one. I'll put it that way.
That was my conclusion.
I had much worse options in, so
I'm
good with those. Let's talk about some pitching fab, but first, a note from our sponsors at Blue Wire.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jeff, so the big pitching one, kind of like we had in the offense, we talked about Alec Thomas. George Kirby is the big pitching call-up, but obviously not available in the NFBC again. But obviously, people play a lot of different leagues. Kirby is very exciting, really highly rated prospect, and managed to come out today and just absolutely deal today. He pitched really well today for the Mariners. Prices went up today as the day went along if you were able to pick up guys today. He's going to pitch once more before NFBC bids. One more gem out of Kirby, and it's going to be a huge, huge
bid. It's going to be a bloodbath. It's really going to be awesome to behold. Yeah. And, you know, unlike his teammate Matt Brash, Kirby was already known for having good control.
Yeah.
So, by the way, he faces the Mets in New York.
It's going to be fun. I mean, that's a tough start, but that's a fun start. I mean, he six shutout innings against the Rays today, seven strikeouts, no walks, four hits. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's really fun. You mentioned the walk rate. I mean, we're talking 5%, 6%, 5% in the minors. When you see a guy like that, the striking guys out, that's very rare. Usually we see the big striking guys that comes with the walks, or they learn that, or they have low walks and not many strikeouts. It's a pretty good combo right here. I guess the only one concern, and the thing that you have to wonder with the bids next week, or if you have them in you can pick them up tonight in your league, it's just the innings. I don't know how many innings they're going to let him go. He threw, I'm going to be bad at math, but 67 and two-third innings last year across A and double A. I just don't know his limits. He's already thrown 24 innings in the minors and another 6 days. He's thrown 30 innings already this year. I got to think like something like 100 is maybe his max. I don't know what we're looking at, but I don't think he's thrown 150 innings or anything like that this year.
Probably not, but they go six-man rotation anyhow. So you don't have to worry about on a per start basis as much. He went six today.
Yeah, he did.
He was super efficient, but that's who he is. I mean, that's kind of the point. I think, the Mets and Mets and Red Sox on the road for his next two starts everything holds. Now, say if they shorten that rotation, I don't think they will, but if they do, that instead of Boston, he gets at Toronto, which, we don't want that.
No.
So let's, because they do have an off day next week or this upcoming week. And
I'm going to ask you first. Anthony Gialdi asked in the chat, what would you guess Kirby's bids in the main event if he performs well at the Mets in his second start here? Obviously, we have off the gem today against the Rays. Say if he goes, I don't know, six innings, gives up two runs, strikes out seven. A really good start. What do you think we're looking at in terms of like an average bid next week?
I think we're looking
an average winning bid.
Somewhere in the 200s, right?
Yeah, see, I think that's low. I think we're going 3 to 4 next. I think we're going 350 to 450 next week if he has another gem. I think people are going to be really excited about it.
I think excitement's warranted, but I think the way the season's going with the offensive environment, I think you need to be more aggressive on the hitters than the pitchers.
I think it's a fair point.
So maybe that's why the Yepez bids maybe makes sense to a lot of people. I mean, how many people have Taylor Reward second place bid remorse right now?
Yeah, no doubt right there. He's been, and it's funny because early in the season, we're like, why would they play Taylor Ward instead of Joe Adell? I'm taking the loss on that one. Obviously, yep. Ward has been much better. Adele's down in AAA. I think a second gem from Kirby plus the prospect rankings, you know, across the board. I think you're getting a lot of business. I think we're gonna be in the 300s next week. Someone in the chat asked you to drop Michael King for George Kirby. I definitely would. I
love in a New York minute.
Yeah, I love Michael King, but you're talking someone that, you know, not gonna get wins, not gonna get saves. You know, you may sneak some wins in there. But pretty far down the saves line, he's a multi-inning guy. I'd rather have George Kirby for sure.
For sure. And it's not like Kirby is like some surprise prospect.
Yeah.
He is someone we've been waiting for. It's just maybe came a little earlier than expected, but Matt Brash's struggles kind of prompted that.
Yeah. Another name that was very prevalent in bids this week, as he seems to maybe moving towards a starting rotation spot, is Spencer Strider in Atlanta. He's been pretty awesome so far. Does walk too many guys, but 36% strikeout rate, a 2.16 ERA and 16 and a 2/3. He threw 4 shutout innings earlier this week in the game at 8 strikeouts. Seems like there's a chance he might end up starting this week. Some of their pitchers are kind of falling off. The RotoWire probables, which I always use a lot, have him. They think he, not for sure, but they think he might start Friday against San Diego. I was in the hundreds for Strider, and actually low hundreds. I actually got outbid in my main event. He went for 138, I think. This is a pretty exciting arm here in Atlanta.
He is. I didn't go so aggressive, but maybe I should have. My concern was twofold, the control and the length. Yeah. He's a long Strider, but
I would love him in a piggyback role behind an opener. That's for sure.
Oh, heck yeah. And that's what he did do the other day, but yeah. Struck out 8 over 4. I mean, that's against the Brewers. I mean, a pretty credible lineup. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, and I think he threw like 65 pitches, something like that. I have to look it up. But I think they kind of marked him up to there. I don't think he's going to be a guy to be throwing 100 pitches anytime this year. But if he can get to 80, maybe give 5 innings, he becomes really usable. I think he's usable just a throw him out there for ratios and Ks and hope to fall into some wins. Obviously, you hope to get situations where you get some wins. But I think he's pretty valuable. No matter how they use him at this point, because they're certainly using him enough, or you're going to get enough Ks. The worries you get with these guys is like if they throw 2 innings in a week, you know, suddenly you're getting 3 or 4 Ks, and that hurts. But he throws 4 to 6 innings a week, however they had kind of parse it out. I think he becomes pretty valuable pretty quick.
Yeah, I think so too.
There were some kind of other, you know, middling pitchers out there. Nick Pivetta had a good start this week. I know we've had our history and struggles with Pivetta over the years. James Caprillion with the A's, first start was rough. Second start was pretty good. Obviously, pitches in a really good park, was decent last year. Tyler Wells in Baltimore has 2 starts this week. He's pitching pretty well. After the Kirby Strider guys, where were you looking for in terms of helping your starting pitchers this week? Any of those 3 guys, or were there other guys that you were finding yourself kind of jumping?
I had him a little bit on my – I didn't have Caprillion just because I fear him getting hurt, and the team context is so bad for our A's that –
You're off the hook whenever you want to not be RAs. I'm letting you pump whenever you want.
It's almost like you don't want me on them.
If they're not going to be my A's, maybe not. Then they certainly don't have to be your A's.
You're looking out for me. I appreciate you on
it
that.
It takes all my willpower not to tweet at people who are talking when they were 8-6 about quote jumping on the bandwagon about this young and exciting team. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But I'm trying not to be petty about stuff.
Dane Dunning was a guy I was looking at.
Talk to you about him. I can never really figure him out. What do you like?
Pitched well again today against the Yankees. I fear like the bullpen's going to let him down, but this is a guy who was, there's a lot expected of him. He was the primary haul in the Lance Lynn deal.
Yeah.
I think he's graduated from tandem starter status, so he's kind of getting stretched out a little bit more, being treated as a real starter. I think he's got a potential to have some lasting staying power here. So I was going after him here. I think he wasn't available in my 15s, but he was available in my 12s. I could be wrong. I think there was maybe one spot where he was available where I did go after him a little harder, but you know, I think he's just good. I think he's a good pitcher. So you know, a lot of 15s, he wasn't available. So this is more for the 10 or 12 team leagues, but I think he's a solid pitcher and that ballpark doesn't scare me.
And he's not a ceiling guy, but he's had 6 starts. He hasn't given up more than 3 runs in a start. And I mean, that's useful. When we're talking a deeper league, 8th, 9th starter, or, you know, 8th, 9th pitcher in a week. If he has 2 starts, he has a good matchup. I've come around a little bit. I was one who wasn't really excited about him early. I don't think there's a big ceiling, but you know, I think he's lowered the walk weight each of the last 2 years. The strikeout rate's a little bit up. I'm looking at his velocity here to see what he's throwing. He only throws 89, which always worries me a little bit. It's dropped a little bit, but he's not a huge fastball guy. He throws a lot of sliders. He throws a lot of changeups. He's a pretty good pitch mix guy. Five pitches, and three of those over 20% of the time. So mixes it around. You're right. I think that park is interesting too, because I don't think that park's one that you're worried about pitching in.
Right. I got him in yogurt. And I also got Odorizzi in yogurt too. Yeah, it was
one week too late on that one.
I know.
Two great starts this week.
Well, yeah, and they were home starts, and it was a two step, and one of them was Detroit, and now he's on the road, and it's at Washington, which isn't as great, but home against Texas after that. He was pretty good against Texas previously, I think. So
I felt a little bit dumb this week. I saw a couple really good players pick up Odorizzi for the two starts this week, and I was like, I just don't get that, and I think he threw 11 shutout innings or something like that. So it was a great week for Odorizzi.
Yeah, I think he just got off to a terrible start of the season. And yeah, he got off to a really terrible start to the season. But those last two starts have been so good. I don't know. Our last three starts now have been good. So I think and he's on a good team. Noteworthy, Christian Javier came in relief today too. So it looks like they've scrapped the 6-man rotation.
That's big, because there was a lot of talk that when Javier moved in, it was to move out Odorizzi maybe one, two times through the rotation, not go 6-man, but it seemed like it worked the other way around.
Yeah, and keep in mind they have an off day tomorrow too, so that might be one of the reasons why they're skipping the 6-man this week and just going, because they want to keep Verlander, Keady, Garcia, Framber on schedule, so makes sense.
Yeah, I was in a little bit on Tyler Wells, who's pitched okay for Baltimore, just mostly the matchup he played. He has Kansas City and Detroit this week, two-step. Justin Mason, who was actually in the chat earlier, outbid me on him, and I gave him some crap about that. He said he's getting tired of outbid, so he kind of went heavy after guys, and it turned out to be really smart. He got a couple of guys this week that I missed out on, but
it wasn't. Wells gets a home game against the Royals and then at Detroit, worth noting there.
That works for sure. It was funny. I think Mountcastle hit a ball off the top of the wall in left field today in Camden. You could tell that that's the first ball I've seen off the top of the wall there. And it's amazing that little carve out makes a big difference in Camden.
Ninth inning today, Barlow throws a pitch to Mancini that, got caught on the warning track, which I think might've been off the wall or if not over the wall last year too.
And that wall used to be so low. Like it makes a big difference.
Yeah. So, you gotta be looking for a game. You gotta be seeking games out at Camden Yards now.
Yeah. Wasn't a big relief pitcher week. I didn't do much in terms of relievers. There were a couple spots where maybe there was Duran in Minnesota was available in 112 teamer. He got a couple saves this week, although Emilio Pagan got the save today. It seemed like they're kind of mixing and matching there, but he was taken in most leagues. Dylan Floro in Miami might be getting the job back. He's on his rehab assignment. Cole Sulcer got smoked today by Jorge Alfaro in the ninth inning. Just hung a pitch that was absolutely murdered. Really happy about that with my Trevor Rogers shares in leagues as he lost his win with two outs in the ninth. He left the game 2-0. And I made a comment, something like, what are the chances the Marlins hold this pen? This lead about 2%. And they held it the whole way till two outs in the ninth, 2-0, and then give up a 3-run walk-off bomb.
Including previous punching bag Anthony Bender throwing a perfect, I think, sixth inning.
Yeah. Anthony Bass had a couple strikeouts through, an inning and 2/3 scoreless. And then Sulcer it got murdered. It was
what a nice whipsaw for Bender owners who benched him last week for his four-save week. Then see him get torched against the Diamondbacks on Wednesday, and then see him pitching in the middle innings after that. You're like,
Yeah, he came in the sixth today. I was like, yeah, I think it's gonna be Floro whenever he's ready.
I think you're right.
I think it could be anybody in a month. I don't
Sulcer blew his chance though. That's for sure.
He did. That was a big shot for him, and he blew it pretty badly. The only other reliever I want to mention this week, I think, is a pretty interesting pickup. If you're still making pickups, I actually think AJ Puck is an interesting pickup. They have 9 games this week. I think he's going to get many chances to throw kind of multi inning.
Lots of win opportunities for our A's.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Sorry,
it might be the first team in Major League Baseball history to lose 9 games in a week. That'd be pretty good. Yeah. But I mean, he's pitching really well. He's striking out 29% of the guys. He's got that strikeout pitch back that we saw in the minors. ERA is 0.69 in 13 innings. He only gave up one run all year. All the metrics look good. The walks are down. Swing strike is up at 13%. He may have finally found his role. I have no idea when he'll break, because I think it'll be some point. Mm-hmm. But he's pitching really well right now. If you're in a deeper league, I think Puck's a really good pickup, especially for the 9 games this week. And I think moving forward, I think he'll someone that's give you ratios and strikeouts and maybe a win here and there. I don't think he's going to be the closer. I think they like him in this role right now. But, could kind of end up in that he's not Josh Hader, but kind of in that role that Hader had early in his career, maybe in the second half of the year.
Yeah, as my colleague Chris List likes to say, go where the puck is moving, not where it's been.
That is always very true when it comes to hockey. That's pretty good. Playoffs right now. So that's
phenomenal good. Playoffs too, by the way. If you're a hockey fan at all, it's been fun. I'll throw one other name too that I stashed Andrés Muñoz this week.
I love him as a pitcher.
Yeah. And the Mariners, I mean, that's not settled yet. It's far from settled.
Is it weird that I kind of sneaky like a lot of guys in their pen? I like Seawald. I like Munoz. Deo Castillo. I kind of like it. I think that pen could kind of be molded to be pretty good.
I mean, that's what it was last year. I mean, it was huge last year. And then they get added Munoz to the mix. And Munoz, I mean, struck out the side today, I think it was. So I know he struggled a little bit earlier this week, but
his K rate going into that game was 39.5%.
Is that good?
And then he struck out all three guys he faced, so that only went up. Yep. He's nasty. I mean, it's a little bit of walks in there, but you could see him being really effective in kind of that same kind of get your ratios and strikeout role that if you need a ninth pitcher in a week, that can be really valuable. I use a couple of those guys a lot, especially with starters not getting wins. It's those guys are more valuable than they used to be.
Yeah, I kind of see it similar to Camilo Duvall in San Francisco, where they went with the guy that's electric eventually over McGee. McGee didn't help matters in his own right by kind of having some bad outings recently.
Have you officially dropped McGee?
No, we didn't cut him yet, but I'm close. I'm really close.
Yeah, I think Duvall is extending that leash pretty good right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hit a few injury notes just because there's a couple of guys I want to talk about before we get out of here at the end. We talked about Carlos Correa a bunch earlier. We're talking about Royce Lewis and Jose Miranda. He missed the weekend. There was a report out. I think it was from your buddy Bob Nightingale that his finger was fractured. It turned out to not be.
Why is he my buddy?
I don't know.
That's gratuitous, man.
Isn't he? I guess his son is his son a Reds guy? His son's a Reds
his
guy.
His son right? is yeah. the beat writer for Cincinnati Inquirer. Yes. So son's
what you just
good.
Told me pretty much makes him your boy.
Okay.
That's like a good connection right there. So suddenly the fracture wasn't there. No surprise that that Bob was wrong on something, but out this weekend, he's unlikely to play on Tuesday. I guess you could play Royce Lewis for the first half of the week and probably don't play Correa the first half of the week. Is that where you'd fall with this?
Yeah. Do you get the feeling that this is one of those, we're going to put him on the AIL situations?
Yeah, and that's why I kept my bids in on Lewis, because I would not be surprised if they were like, you know what, let's just give him 5 or 6 more days. He's already missed. It'll be 4 games by that point. Like, why not give him the rest of the week and kind of just figure it out rather than pushing it? So I would not be surprised if that happened.
Yeah, I hope Bob is not validated on this one. Let's just put it that way, because that's bad for the game.
Agreed, too. I think that you want Carlos Correa, especially playing defense, is very fun to watch. Luis Castillo for your Reds. A lot of Reds people. He's returning on Monday. I assume if you have Luis Castillo in the league, you are full on starting him this week, yes?
Yeah. It's 2 starts this week, and the second one's at Pittsburgh. What are we doing if you're not starting him?
Agreed. Some people are worried when they're first coming off, but with the Pittsburgh starting there, you got to do it. We mentioned Yoan Moncada returning Monday, so get him in your lineup if that's someone that you have on your team. Byron Buxton is day-to-day with a right hip strain. He either homers or gets hurt every game, it seems like. But I think that they don't play – we're talking about Correa. They don't play Monday. They play Tuesday. So hopefully you have somebody you can kind of have in his place for Tuesday. If he's in the lineup, obviously you want Buxton in there. Other than that, a lot of Clippers. Marcus Stroman went in the IL prior to his start tonight, undisclosed. So it seems like it's a COVID IL. We don't know the details if he's positive or just close contact. So we'll get some more info there at some point. Chris Sale is behind schedule a couple weeks on his rehab. It's a non-baseball medical issue. It sounds like we're looking at another 2 or 3 weeks later than we thought, though, on Sale. We're probably looking more towards July than June, if I'm reading that correctly.
All right. And there's already mystery shrouding this injury in the first place there. I think that when they say it's the rib injury is the non-baseball medical injury, I think, but I don't know for sure. I mean,
is this the one setback you'd need to drop him in a league?
If I had him in a league to drop, yeah.
I think it's just for me too. He was actually available in one of my online championships and I didn't even put a bid in on him. So that'll answer that question for me.
That'll
I just
teach
think
him.
I think it's too far along. I think when you're looking at July, and we're in early May. Like, if I can sneak him through maybe a month, I'll do it. Probably somebody else will do it before me, but I'm fine kind of missing that.
Yeah. Until then, he'll have to sit there on the waiver wire and think about what he's done.
Absolutely. Steven Strasburg is scheduled to pitch a 2-inning sim game this week. Sounds like we're not seeing him until June. I assume he's a hold. I didn't take him anywhere. I didn't really want to deal with this. I figured it would be June. I guess he's a hold, but I'm not really interested in picking him up at the moment either.
Nope. Not interested.
Let's talk about some players. Zach Gallen is someone that's just friggin' dealing right now. Another really good game today. 7 innings, 5 hits, 7 strikeouts on Sunday. Push his ERA under 1. He was someone that was kind of falling in drafts. Everybody's excited about him after 2020, and last year was not very good. ERA was about 4.3, and the whip was 1.3. Gallen's been great so far. 28 innings, 0.95 ERA. Are we seeing that 2021 maybe is an outlier for him, and those 2019 and 2020 numbers were pretty real?
Don't let pitchers bat. I think that's the answer to that one. Fastball is up. That's one of the things I like. Going into today, it was 94.4. It was 93.4 the year before. Yeah, I'm encouraged. I'd like to see a higher strikeout percentage, a little bit more swing and miss. Swing and miss was at 10.5 going into today, but I mean, it's hard to argue with the excellent results. Home run to fly ball ratio of 0, which means it's null set, not a number, but means he hasn't given up a homer. Yeah. But he looks good. He looks really good.
Yeah,
Diamondbacks are over 500, by the way.
They're kind of a weirdly fun team to watch too. Like, I would never have guessed that, but I find myself as I flip over dying games, they're usually competitive. They play hard. They got some good pitchers. They got some fun guys. Alec Thomas changes that too. Varsho, obviously. I love David Peralta. We've talked about that for many years. And Ketel Marte hasn't even hit yet. So they may be a team that can hang around for a little bit. I mean, they obviously can't compete with the top three teams. That's a tough division, but it'd be fun to see them hang around with a little bit. I kind of like their team more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I'm still kind of tough offensively to watch. I think they've had a decent week, but before this week, their offense was bottom two in baseball, and they kind of woke up this week a little bit there. And getting Thomas, yes, you're right, does make them better.
Yeah, and I mean, you think Marte is going to hit at some point, although we're a month in, he has not yet, but you got to hope that he gets it going a little bit. Mm-hmm. Speaking of someone who has not gotten it going, Trevor Story in Boston has been a really rough start, Boston-wise, baseball-wise, real world-wise, fantasy-wise. We're a month in now, and I can actually say that because the season started April 7th. He has 0 home runs. He has 1 stolen base, hitting .202. Obviously, if you took Story, you took him in the late second, early third, mid third, whatever it was in your draft, depending on how big your league is. I think you just have to leave him in there and start him every day. But boy, is that tough to stomach looking at 0 home runs through a full month.
Yeah, striking out a third of the time. Strikeouts have always been a part of Trevor Story's game. But you had the payoff. You had things that were worth it. You had the power and the speed.
Yep.
0 homers, 1 stolen base, and the whole narrative. If you want to go narrative on Trevor's story, the way the season devolved last year with him, with the Rockies and why they didn't trade him, and he's hurt. That's also why they didn't trade him. And then signs a big contract nonetheless this offseason. And the team's off to a terrible start along with him, which makes it even worse, puts a lot of pressure on him. And first time that he's actually had to really face that scrutiny. Now, I think in the long run, he's fine. I think he's a buy low. I think this is a buy when there's blood in the streets. If you're in a trade league, he's not, all but the thinnest of leagues are there. No one's going to cut him, but if they do, swoop in, pick him up
for sure.
It's a cost-free acquisition in that case. Get them on the cheap if you can.
We have seen a lot of guys really struggle that first month with a new team, and that's all we're at is 1 month here. And I think that – but you look at it, I mean, the hard hit rate's down, swing and strike rate's up, strikeouts are up, and there's a lot of bad stuff here. But I think that kind of feels to me like he's pressing. I think he's trying to get a 5-run homer every time he's up. He's hearing about it as much as everybody's talking about how much he's struggling. You mentioned Boston, it's more ramped up there than almost any place that isn't New York or Philadelphia, maybe. But the pressure there is huge. The Red Sox huge. That you mentioned the offense has been brutal with, you know, that top six is all big name guys. It's just been a really rough stretch. If I were in a league that had trading, I'd probably try and make an offer for Trevor Story tomorrow and see what I could get. I don't think whoever took him is going to trade him for pennies on the dollar quite yet. But if you get a 75 cents on the dollar tomorrow, I'd probably do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should try to. These are, you know, you want to win these incremental trades, and you want to win, you know, whether it's free agent bids or trades in a trade league, you know, churn more. The more, we tend to think we're better at evaluating talent than our competitors. That's the reason why we play fantasy sports.
Yep.
Well, and especially if trading is one of them. Well, the more trades you make, the better you're going to do. You're going to make some bad trades every once in a while. Sometimes that buy low doesn't come through, but more often than not, you do that in volume, it's going to work.
So it's a good segue to our next guy on the list, Marcus Semien, obviously a favorite of mine from his Oakland days. And it's weird. We could talk about the story like, oh, he signed a big contract. Maybe he's feeling the pressure. But like last year was a pressure-filled year for him. He signed a one-year deal, kind of bet on himself after leaving the A's, and he was awesome. He had 45 home runs, 15 stolen bases. Granted, playing in Toronto in that lineup, but we're a month in. It's been a rough. He's another guy, similar to Story. Zero home runs. He has two stolen bases, so he's doubled up Story there. But hit .179. Swing strike rate's up. The hard hit rate is way down.
That's the thing. It's the quality of contact that scares me.
And that 2020 year he had in Oakland, where he kind of just it was the short season, and you felt like he felt every single at bat was super pressure filled. Like he was going for a contract, and he was horrible. And there was no hard contact. The year before he was great. He was a top five in the MVP voting in 2019. This 2022 really looks like the 2020 so far. Hard hit rate's down at 24%, 3.8% barrel rate's brutal. It's a month in, I get it. He's not striking out a lot, but it's been rough. The BABIP's 218, that's going to go up, but he's got to find some hard contact that's going to work out. Otherwise, it's rough right now.
Right now, I feel like he's trying to justify that contract, right? Yeah, I feel like he's pressing because of that. I think more often than not, struggles occur because players try too hard, not because they don't try enough after getting that big contract. They want to justify that contract.
And if there's one thing I know about Semien, there will not be a day where he's not giving 100%. He was the hardest worker in Oakland for many, many years. He came to Oakland. He was a horrendous defensive shortstop, got a ton of crap for his first year there, made so many errors, could not throw the ball to first, couldn't field it. Worked with Ron Washington like 3 hours before, but like the clips of him and the stories about him are insane. So that's definitely not it, but it's something going on right now because it is really rough if you took him in the end of the third round or where he was going at the end of drafts.
For sure.
I got to tell you, I'm surprised by one thing so far this week. Ronald Acuna has 4 stolen bases. I think you and I probably talked about this, and I was definitely on board with, like, I don't think I take him because I don't think he runs for the first month he's there. Even if he comes back and he's hitting, he'll DH and won't run. He might be a robot or something like that, but 4 stolen bases already is definitely jumps off the page. He had a home run the other day when he fell down for the home run too.
Yeah, hit one from his knees, basically.
Pretty good with the dead ball. Down, there's not much to say about Acuna. I'm happy he's back. I'm happy he's running. There's so many young players that I love that MLB does not do enough to market that. I mean, you got so many good players in the game. You know, everybody's talking about the ball instead of all the good players. It frustrates the hell out of me, but I love that Acuna's back and he looks fully back.
He does. He does.
Which I did not expect off the bat like that, considering he got hurt in August or whatever it was.
Yep. Ronald Acuña, because I took his L again. This won't age well tweet, you know, all queued up. We did a segment on SiriusXM where I basically said I wasn't drafting. I thought I was going too early, and they did a little cut of that and tweeted it out and everything. So I'm surprised it hasn't been thrown back in my face yet, but maybe it's because I got it out in front of it. I don't know. It's just I was aggressively wrong so far. He is running.
It's a combo. Get out in front of it. It's a combo of you admit when you're wrong. It's a combo of people really like you. So it's a good combo of all those things. But you admit when you're wrong, which doing this, everybody's going to be. And if you're not, that means you're not really saying anything very interesting, because if you're not going to be wrong on stuff, you're not really taking any stands, and you kind of have to in these when we're talking about players, and you're going to have some losses in there.
Yeah, for sure.
We kind of talked about the other guys I wanted to hit. We talked about Torkelson earlier. Do you think Torkelson sticks? Do you think they send him back down? What do you kind of think they do with him? Because he's got a couple of monster home runs we talked about earlier. He's got 3 home runs, but I mean, 167 with a strikeout rate of 34%. The leash can't be that long, right, for them to maybe give him a couple weeks down in AAA?
Yeah, maybe, but at the same time, think about it this way. Who's he holding back? Who's like – better, who's a better player that they, you know, could be getting more playing time? Spencer Torkelson wasn't playing.
Nobody. Somewhere. I just maybe figure they may want to just give him a mental 10-day break and go.
That would be the only reason why. It would have
go
to
hit AAA round. For 10 days, go mash, come back, and let's get after it. You know, it's just, I'm sure at this point, I mean, he struck out three times and three at bats today. I think he's probably, it'd be impossible for him not to be in his head at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, his contact rate going into today was 62.7. So, yeek. Yeah, maybe he'd benefit from that.
Yeah, I think maybe just a mental 2-week break to kind of figure stuff out.
And that happens all the time in the course of baseball.
It does. I mean it's hitting. I think what we've seen this year, if we've learned nothing else, is that walking in, no matter how good a prospect you are, walking in, hitting, and then you throw the dead ball in there, it's not easy.
Yeah, spring training ain't it. You know, it's just. Yeah. You got, you know, great. You want a job out of there, but now what do you do?
In spring, you face, you know, you have one at bat against a good pitcher, and then you face a bunch of triple and double A guys, right. And you match. It's a big difference, but
it is.
Anybody else that you want to talk about? Can we kind of hit everybody that at some point? Yeah. That's a podcast that I had listed to talk about. We talked a lot about free agency and all the fun guys that came up. Anybody else that is on your mind, or you have any thoughts for this week that we didn't hit?
No, I think we're pretty thorough there. I'm pretty good with what we're right at this point here.
Beautiful.
Well said.
I want to say thank you to everybody in the chat. There was a lot of people watching. We have a bunch of people watching right now, a bunch of people asking questions. Sorry I didn't get to all of them. Sometimes I jump around a little bit. It's hard to kind of go back to it. But I think we kind of hit most of everything. I want to thank everybody for listening, everybody for watching. If you're watching live or listening on the podcast, obviously we appreciate both of those. If you want to just follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jensen. We'll be talking a lot of baseball in there. You might have to deal with a little bit of basketball talk from me this week, especially because the Warriors are in the playoffs at the moment. We'll be a lot of baseball, a lot of basketball. So we're looking forward to that. Thanks everyone for the nice comments in the chat. And Jeff, looks like he has another comment to make.
Yeah. Check out Gaming Golf. You know, guys, we've been doing a lot of good work on the golf side of things. Scott Jenstad, his betting sheet had the top three guys this week, including
it was a pretty good week. And Max Homa was 40. We talked about 40-1 in the podcast. I actually didn't get him at 44-1, but there was a point where I had 1, 2, and 3, and it was pretty nice not having to worry about the back nine. It doesn't happen very often, but it was a fun one. So I appreciate that plug there.
Yeah. And we're trying to grow an audience there. So if you play fantasy golf at all, please give us a chance. Check it out.
Had all three of the guys in my DraftKings lineup too. Unfortunately, my cheap guy withdrew with some sort of injury. So that
and Jeff Ritter is also excellent on there too.
Yeah,
Jeff
is good and fun to listen to too. So if anybody, we do that on Tuesday afternoons on the gaming golf side. So if you do want to jump in for that, even if you haven't played fantasy golf, you just like it. We talk a lot of kind of general golf stuff too. So it's fun and good sports to bet on too.
Indeed.
Cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We really do appreciate it. As always, we will be back at you next Sunday. Hopefully the A's win a game this week and I don't have to rip on them as much as I did today. But thanks everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.